praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year-long crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible. We'll include excerpts from his spoken ministry, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org. or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. Throughout the ages, many commentaries have touched the book of Ephesians. It is an epistle unlike any other in the Bible, for it takes the heavens as its viewpoint to unveil the church, God's eternal purpose. Many agree that this book is the highest revelation in the New Testament regarding God's eternal purpose. Listen to Paul's word again in chapter 3, that by revelation the mystery was made known to me, the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in spirit, that in Christ Jesus the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise through the gospel. Yes, this is the book of the mystery of Christ, hidden but now being made known. And for this, Paul considered himself a prisoner of Christ with a high calling to enlighten all, he says, that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church, according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. This revelation is still being unveiled in this age in which we live, and it has been the goal of this long life study that we conclude today with our 75th program on the book of Ephesians. And Ron Kangas has joined us for this very special fellowship. Welcome, Ron.
It's good to be here, and kind of a surprise, but I'm happy with the way things worked out, and I look forward to doing my best to contribute to this capstone fellowship on a very wonderful life study.
Yes, it is a surprise. We did have a bit of a schedule change near the end. You know, Ron, as we conclude these, I would say, milestone books in the life study, at times we've had sort of overview programs for our final one. Highlight programs, something a little different today, though, we've planned, and I hope that our listeners are benefited by it. And that is that this book of Ephesians, with such a high view, such a high and heavenly view, as we mentioned before, has been the subject of a lot of commentaries. And in this ministry, the particular ministry that we're involved with in bringing each day, the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, it has been touched several times, and I think back to the first significant treatment that I'm aware of, at least, in the ministry of Watchman Nee, was a compilation of messages that he gave before the Japanese-Chinese War, which would have put it in the early or mid-30s, a book that was published in the late 1950s called Sit, Walk, Stand. A lot of believers are familiar with this book. It is a classic, I would say, and it remains a favorite of many people. We appreciate this early work very much. And I think what we would like to do today, Ron, is show the development or the progression of the understanding and the light that has come regarding the revelation in this book, beginning with Watchman Nee's classic work, Sit, Walk, Stand, and then coming forward to 1973, which was when Witness Lee did a fairly thorough study on this book, and many of those messages have been incorporated into the life study we're just now concluding. And then, of course, he came back in 1978 and 9 and did the formal life study. And at each stage, I think we see some development, don't we?
We do, which is in keeping with the nature of what we call the Lord's recovery, that the Lord always builds upon his genuine ministry of the preceding periods of time. And Brother Nee, as you mentioned, gave this marvelous series. Sit, Walk, Stand is the published form. But then, actually, it was close to 40 years later
right.
that Brother Lee, having ministered on Ephesians many, many times from different angles, had a conference and a training, Christ with the Church in Ephesians. And this was somewhat of a topical study related to Christ with the Church.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1978, there was a formal two-part life study of Ephesians, going through the whole book, focusing on the central subject of the book, the Church as the body of Christ, the fullness of Christ, becoming the fullness of God. And that was a verse-by-verse study of Ephesians in the way of life from the perspective of the divine economy. And then, as we will probably mention toward the end of the program, just this last December, we conducted what we call a crystallization study mm-hmm. of Ephesians,
right.
giving just 12 messages, but focusing on the intrinsic significance and the essential points of this book, a real crystallization of much that had been ministered in the last 70 years
yeah.
in the Lord's recovery. It's written from the heart of God, from eternity, from the heavens, from the divine concept. And it's very refreshing to reflect, even in a kind of general way, upon the progress of the Lord's ministry from this book in and to his recovery.
So let's go back to this first early work that we talked about a little bit, Sit, Walk, Stand. And his messages in that study were built on three points or three aspects of Ephesians. The aspect of sitting or resting in Christ that comes from Ephesians 2:6 and other verses in the book. And he raised us up together with him and seated us together with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And he took this as somewhat the starting point of the Christian life or the Christian walk. It does not begin with doing, but with sitting. And following that, he came to Ephesians 4:1, I beseech you, I therefore in the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. So we begin by sitting and then progress to walking, which is somewhat opposite the natural order of things. And finally, in chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. So, Ron, I'd like to read, if I could, just a short paragraph from this book and then maybe ask you to comment on the essence, I guess, of this ministry at that time and the extent of the vision. Okay, this is quoting again from Watchman Nee's book, Sit, Walk, Stand. Christian life does not begin with walking, it begins with sitting. The Christian era began with Christ, of whom we are told that when he had made purification of sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. With equal truth, we can say that the individual Christian life begins with a man in Christ. That is to say, when by faith we see ourselves seated together with him in the heavens. Most Christians make the mistake of trying to walk in order to be able to sit. But that is a reversal of the true order. Christianity is a queer business. If at the outset we try to do anything, we get nothing. If we seek to attain something, we miss everything. For Christianity begins not with a big do, but with a big done.
It's wonderfully clear, isn't it?
It is.
The utterance is extraordinary. And the essential truth is absolutely in harmony with the Scriptures. If we would put walking before sitting, we really are in works of the law. We're trying to earn something, to achieve something. The reason sitting is first is that it is an assertion that the Christian life is predicated upon the finished work of Christ. He has done the work. He could declare on the cross that it was finished. The work of redemption was finished. So we begin by entering into his completed work. It reminds me of a truth in Genesis, end of chapter 1, first part of chapter 2, that man was created just before the Sabbath. So God labored, then man came into being, then immediately man rested by entering into God's finished work. This is a crucial principle in the excerpt that you read from Brother Nee. Now I want to add a comment, and in no way I want to misrepresent Brother Nee's ministry. Even by this point, Brother Nee was moving in the sphere of the corporate life of the body of Christ. He realized that the Christian life is not individualistic. Nevertheless, I think we can say that the emphasis in these messages, especially as they are appropriated by believers, is on the personal side. Talks about Christian life, and we tend to think of the personal Christian life. So I think we can say that with Sit, Walk, Stand, we have a marvelous exposition of the book in terms of these three words, sitting, walking, and standing, with a particular application to the individual believers entering into Christ, appropriating the finished work of Christ, and simply enjoying being in Christ.
All right, let's jump forward now, this 40-year leap that you referred to earlier. We come to 1973. I thought I would read a short passage from one of his messages that illustrate, I think, somewhat the burden, the feeling that he brought to this book of Ephesians in this time in 1973. And I think we will see some additional burden and development here. He says, "We have seen that as the new man, the church should walk according to truth and by grace, and that as the bride, the church should live in love and in light. However, not only must God's eternal purpose be fulfilled and the desire of God's heart be satisfied, but God's enemy must be defeated. For this, the church must be a warrior. Our walk is for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Our living is for the satisfaction of Christ. And our fighting is for the defeat of God's enemy. Hence, for these three things, the church must be the new man, the bride, and the warrior." How would you describe the development of the light by this time, Ron?
Well, these messages are given decades after the ones we referred to just now. Brother Nee himself, I think in 1939, released some major ministry on the vision of the body of Christ, knowing the body of Christ, living in the body of Christ, message after message, truly unfathomable, even as we view them in their edited and printed form. Of course, Brother Lee received directly the benefit of all that ministry. He himself progressed as the Lord was growing in him, and as he was pursuing the Lord in the Word, we may say through his own sufferings of imprisonment and lengthy illness and the suffering of being sent out of mainland China to Taiwan to minister, the suffering of being separated from Brother Nee, who eventually was imprisoned in 1952, never to be released. So it's understandable that Brother Lee would faithfully continue this ministry according to the New Testament, standing on Brother Nee's shoulders. So when we come to the messages in 1973, we see a powerful emphasis on what is the emphasis of Ephesians, and that's the church, the body of Christ, the new man, the bride, and the warrior. And in the portion that you read, it's interesting that the church as the body, now functioning as the warrior, fulfills Genesis 1:26, not only bearing the image to express God, but exercising dominion to deal with God's enemy. So in these messages, we have a marvelous linking with the book of Ephesians to God's eternal purpose, which of course is unfolded in Ephesians, and to God's purpose in the creation of humankind, unveiled in Genesis 1:26. So in brief, what I'm saying is that with the 1973 emphasis on Christ with the church in Ephesians, we are really at the heart of what Paul calls the great mystery, Christ and the church. There are marvelous messages on Christ, but this Christ is with the church, this Christ is for the church, this Christ is in the church, and the church is the body of such a marvelous, all-inclusive Christ.
Of course, reminding our listeners of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, where Paul says clearly, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So you're absolutely characterizing this in this progression that we hope to bring out today. Now, let's come to the full life study that he did in 1978 and 79. Virtually all of these messages have been the substance, the core of this life study we have just concluded or are concluding today on the radio series. And we have a portion of one of those messages now from Witness Lee's own voice, and I think we should hear that and get your comment on that.
We need a vision to see how the church is constituted. That is, we need to be strengthened into our inner man. Our whole being has to be strengthened that the indwelling Christ may spread himself, may get himself settled, may make his home in every part of our inward being. Then we are rooted in life, and we are grounded for building. And then we all will be filled unto the expression of God. That is the fullness of God, the church. We all have to see what is the church. My, to say the church is just a bungalow at that corner. Terrible. Even to say the church is the ecclesia, the called people gathering together, is not adequate. And today, this term, the body of Christ, signifying the church, is very popular, but I really doubt the speakers of this word do understand what does this term body implies. The body of Christ is the expression of Christ. The body of Christ is the fullness of Christ. That is the fullness of God. And how this fullness of God comes into existence? By our being strengthened into the inner man. That Christ can make his home to occupy every part of our inward being and saturate them with all what he is. The fullness of God, which is the highest definition of the church, comes into being in this way. Brothers, if you have the vision, I tell you, your whole being will be changed.
Ron, I think to save time, I would just ask you to comment here according to whatever feeling you have and then just go right on and maybe conclude with this most recently concluded study that you talked about at the beginning of the program.
Did you notice the last sentence that
Yes.
he uttered in this portion? That if we have this vision, our whole being will be changed. I would like to bear witness to the truth of this. The vision in Ephesians unfolded through the genuine ministry, changes our being. It gives us the divine point of view. It opens us, according to what's revealed in chapter 3 of Ephesians, to experience the divine constituting, that we may have Christ wrought into us to become his fullness, his expression, his body. So in the excerpt that we heard, we see a marvelous expounding of what can be called the heart of the heart of the Bible. Ephesians is the heart of the Bible, we may say. The heart of Ephesians is chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Here we have it, Christ making his home in our hearts, that we may be filled unto all the fullness of God, and that fullness is the body of Christ, the fullness of Christ, as his corporate expression. To see this and to be brought into this changes everything. Mm. It aligns our being with God's heart's desire and with his eternal intention. Just last December, we mentioned in the beginning a number of those serving the Lord in the ministry according to the grace given to us labored to present 12 messages, not to try to summarize all of this vast ministry on Ephesians, but to focus on the essential things, mm-hmm. on what we call the crystals that draw from the depths of the Word and show forth in crystal clear expression what the divine thought is in this book. And as we labored to prepare outlines on this and to present the Word, we realized again Ephesians is unspeakably profound. We need to humble ourselves and be like little children, just seeking the Lord afresh, asking him to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because what is unfolded in the book of Ephesians is the height of the Scriptures. It's the heart of the Scriptures. And it is the opening up of the heart's desire of God. Believe me, Chris, in all of these 75 programs covering so many points, actually, we have just had Ephesians 101. We have just had our first pass, our initial entrance into this unsearchably rich book. But we hope in the Lord that the seeking ones among God's children will read and reread Ephesians, even prayerfully, will avail themselves of the recovery version, mm-hmm. with the footnotes and the life studies, and really look to the Lord that they may see also this vision that changes their being for the glory of God.
If you'd like to get the printed Life Study messages, call us toll-free 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. And that is the Life Study of Ephesians. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world, before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.